So we left off at the top of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara was trying to figure out how certain dinim deraisa seem to be changed in terms of Shulchan Shmita's Ksofim. So they changed multiple levels. There's one question of how is there a concept of Min HaTorah, perhaps Shmita's Ksofim doesn't apply, and Mid the Rabbanan they instituted it. And there's another problem of you can have a scenario of Shmita's Ksofim that does apply, and Hillel's Takana Prusbul is uprooting that. A lot of things flying around in terms of Shmita's Ksofim, potential changes to dim their ice, which of course always becomes problematic. So comes Rava on the top of Lamed Rava Mebeis, five lines from the top. Well, the line Rava Mehefke Beis and I Hefke. Rava says that pretty much all of these areas of Halacha, since they're all being mamonis, they're all about monetary law, so they're covered by another principle of Halacha, Hefke Beis and Hefke. I mean, Beis then has the ability to change the rules, at least in terms of Dina Mamonis. Just is there a reason why no one's on? It's somebody not connected.
Let me continue.
Okay. So how do we know that in the realm of the Imam is based has a free reign to change the halachas and declare the properties hefker? So Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know that there is such a principle that governs the Imam is Shinema? There's a poskin to Ezra that describes that Ezra wanted everybody to gather together, and he made a takona, he made a rule that those who don't come that by 3 days to join us, yachrom kol rechusho. So all of his property, all his money is going to be declared to be hefke, it's going to be ownerless. So you see that Ezra had the koach as the head of the Beis Din to declare people's money to be ownerless. So Rabbi Elazar says in the following pasuk, Eilu anachlos shenachlo Elazar akor v'shu binun v'rashi avos v'yom. Pesukim in Sefer Yeshua described the dividing up of Eretz Yisrael, the days of Yeshua binun. And the pasuk tells us that the nachlos were divided by Elazar HaKohen and Yeshua binun. They were the leaders of the Jewish community, the Rashi Avos, as well as the fathers, the heads of the tribes. Yes, the Gemara b'chima in Rashi made some Avos. Why are the Rashi and the Avos compared to one another? Rashi refers to the leaders and to the Beis Din and Yeshua binun. The Avos refers to the fathers. So what's the connection between the two? The teachers lemucha. Just as a father can decide what he wants to give an inheritance to his children, so to the Russian, the Beis Din has the authority to give over property, give over money from one person to another. So the bottom line is the Gemara has this principle called Hefker Beis and Hefker, even though it's interesting that both of the psukim that the Gemara quotes, neither of them are from Chumash. They're both, one is from Navi and one is from Ksubim. The Gemara is assuming that this is a dim in HaTorah. The Gemara does this often. We'll quote a pasuk from the Hebrew Ksuvim. The Gemara will explain that this is really Halacha Moshim Seir. It's a well-known tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It is referred to, it is alluded to, it is referenced in the Hebrew Ksuvim. But this is a dim in HaTorah. And again, we use this principle, Hefker and Hefker, many, many times over. All dim derabbanan and the realm of the Imamunus ultimately are only boiled down to this principle called Hefker and Hefker. So now the Gemara goes back to some of the details of the Takon of Hillel of Prozbul that Shemitah's Ksofim should have applied, the loan should have been canceled. The person writes a very, very simple document, very, very almost insignificant document, saying, I'm hereby handing over all my debts to the Beis Din of Bergenfield and show my scroll. All of a sudden, all the halachas change. So the Gemara wanted to know, by the way, we have the following question. Ki hiskin Hillel Prozbul, Dari Huda Tokin, Alduma Dari Amanami Tokin. When Hillel made this takana of Prozbul, was this something that was almost like an emergency kind of a measure? It was fundamentally made for his generation. Because as the Mishnah explains to us, Masechta Shviyos, Hillel made this takana as a response to what was going on in his days, that he saw that people weren't lending. That was the whole problem in the first place. So maybe Hillel said, listen, what's going to be in 100 years from now? I have no idea. It's going to be tomorrow, but right now, it's an important takana. So it was fundamentally, it was not made as an eternal takana. But do I say no? That Hillel made this takana for Derider, for as long as Yerushalayim will continue. So he made this this takana. If and when, everybody, not if, but when, everybody, Mikdash, Yom will come back, Shvita will come back, so that we have to reevaluate the takana. But until then, so the takana was standing forever. So the rest of the Nafkavina, what's the difference? A little bit too late. The Nafkavina is, can we go ahead today and actually revoke, actually cancel Hillel's takana? So even as the Dario the Tokin, if you hold that the Takana was never made as a permanent eternal Takana, the Mamlina lies so that easy come, easy go. So we can just gather together and based in one fine day today. Just say whatever Hillel says is possible, doesn't count anymore. Eliyamos the Dario Alman, I'm talking about the beginning. Say that Hillel made the Takana for all generations. One base then cannot undo, cannot revoke a takana of a previous base then, unless the second base then is greater unless it's greater in terms of wisdom and in terms of minyan. Minyan is always a tricky word because all but the different the same numbers. Every base then level 71 dayanim. So what does the minyan mean? There are different opinions. Some suggest Uvimina means the chachavim in that generation. It's how many people accepted the Takana. You have a generation where the whole Jewish people was a handful of people, and you have other generations where the numbers are much greater. So maybe one can argue that a Takana, in order to be revoked, has to be canceled by a greater basin in terms of chachavim, and a greater Tamil chachavim in terms of the number of Tamil chachavim as well. So what's the bottom line? It's a historical halachic question. Was the Takana of Hillel really made for all generations? And therefore, it would be very, very hard for us to revoke it. It's going to be pretty hard for us to put together a Beis Din greater than Hillel right now. Whereas if you hold it that the Takana was never really made for eternity, so then easy come, easy go. So my, what's that law? So Toshva, Yama Shmuel. Shmuel taught us the following statement. Lo chasvinan puzbol, ela even beidina de sura, even beidina de narda. That Shmuel said that we cannot just stop writing puzbol every single Beis Din. You have to have a very chashva beis din, like the beis din of Sura, like the beis din of Hadad, the high, high, high level but they did him. Only those kind of but they did him are authorized to write a prosbul. There's a big machlekes and Rishonim. Where does that put us today? We have the Sura and the Hadad today.
Are
you
71 person
beis din? Not necessarily. It's why necessarily the beis din Hadad, because the beis din of Rav was the beis din of Sura. The only said Henry that was still functioning and that was still there to Yisrael. But the Beis Din of Rav and the Beis Din of Shmuel and certain Adon with a pretty serious authority centers of Jewish learning at the time. So there were three different opinions, and we showed them what do we do with this. So Rabbeinu Tam, in his early years, used to say that we cannot write any prosbuls anymore because nobody today can claim that they're the Beis Din of Rav and Shmuel. We have the status as great as the Beis Din is today. You can't be compared to the Beis Din of Sura and Adon. And therefore, the entire string of prosbul was out the window. That was the early years of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind in his later years, and he said, no, that you don't have to have the Beis Din on par with Rav and Shmuel. You have to have a Beis Din in that generation, like Rav and Shmuel were in their generation. So the same way in the olden days, so Rav and Shmuel were the top line Beis Din. So to today, you have to go to the real and really chashva Beis Din, Sheba Oso Hador. Then there was the third opinion of Rishon that says that we don't even bounce like Shmuel. The Gemara seems to back out from Shmuel, and that's Lav and Zav and Aleph. And Ishmael Rabbanim is also are all good. So different opinions in Rishonim. So we don't accept the first river before Rabbeinu Tam himself backed out. We do write prosbuls today. There are different opinions in the poskim whether we have to go for the top line Beis Din or whether we can write any three guys can supervise a prosbul. So the Rambam is very lenient about this. Our practice, especially the Ashkenaz community, is to be very lenient about this. We put the three guys on the street. You know, first of all, remember Rishonim, kind of a type of Beis Din. So that's good enough for the purpose of prosbul. That's what we passed the Mikra did. There are others who tried to be machmer in this, to try to get a higher level, kind of a Beis Din. They try to get a Beis Din Shmuel, so a door, a Beis Din, a Paskin Shailos, a Beis Din. I know in Burnfield, we have a Beis Din that functions once every 7 years. We put together our Beis Din for prosbul purposes. So the others who like to be machmer that they want to write a prosbul in a Beis Din that has a little bit more authority. So I know that in Yeshiva, we used the RCA Beis Din. The Rabbana, the willing, the other day, at least sit on the Torah, at least they function all year long. So they come to the Yeshiva one day, and everybody comes and writes their personal words with them. So, yeshiva, different practices within this.
Does it empower someone to say, I don't want to accept your
principle? No. So we're gonna assume that like a suffix principle is cool. If the principle is good according to some, so we're probably going to enforce it. So comes the Gemara and says that this whole idea of Shmuel, that you need a super duper Beis Din to run a prosbul, the Esau Gadaitik Ladari Alma and Ami talking, Bashar Beidin and Ami Lichtavu. So the Gemara thinks that if you hold that Hillel's Takana was like a one time kind of a Takana, So then I understand why you need a high-level base at every generation, because the high-level base is almost like we need to do the principle. The original Takana wasn't really intact anymore. But if you hold that, Hillel himself made the Takana forever, so what do you need a base in Chasha for? It's such a significant base. Any base should be able to do it. What says the Duma Ki Takana Hillel Dariyama? No, maybe Hillel made the Takana for eternity, but he made the Takana go make the end of the day. A base in similar to his, Ukhrod Amir Ravasi, or but they did him similar to Rav Amir Ravasi, that was the norm of the time. They had the koach to be mafkiyam bamo. They had the koach to literally take away people's money. But a regular basin doesn't have that authority. And so the other question that, you know, today, especially in America, you're going for the top of line basin. You're going to the RCA basin, the basin that works in our communities. At the end of the day, they also don't have any mafkiyam bamo. At the end of the day, they also can't mamish bamish literally take away your money. Maybe somebody did in Eretz Yisrael have that koach and mafkiyam bamo bizman as that. You know, back in Europe, you know, shtetl, so the rubber town had the base did. If a guy gets into a dinter, so very often the base didn't have the autonomy from the government to literally take people's money away. Nobody can do that in America anymore. So it's a little bit of a question what degree of base would be required. We probably pass can equal director of money away. Any three guys are good enough. So we try Lechatchila to make it a little bit more higher looking base than three guys, but equal did, we pass that any three people would be acceptable. Toshma, so we're still trying to make a proof. Was Hillel's takana a temporary takana or was it a permanent takana? Toshva Yom Shmuel. Ha'pruz bula ubana d'dayinehu. Shmuel has a startling statement about pruz bula. That pruz bula is like a little bit of a chutzpah. I was going to discuss what that word ubana exactly means a little bit later. But the simple shot is like a little bit of a chutzpah of dayonim. The whole idea of a pruz bula is a little shvacha thing because the Pasuk Chumash says that the 70 year comes, the loans are canceled. So we know all the lumdas. It's Hefker Beis and Hefker and Sheikh Atasa and Rabbanan. We got all that. That's what we learned at the beginning of the Sugya. But at the end of the day, it's still a little bit of a chuspah. The Torah says one thing, and the Dayanim are kind of doing something else. So Shmuel says, Iaisha Chayel Avtaline. Shmuel says that if I had the authority, if people would listen to me, I would cancel this proof. The whole proof bowl is very, very shaky. Yes, you were Avtaline. That's what Shmuel meant. I would cancel the proof, but what do you mean? But in days in Yochel Valdev, in days in Chaveiro, I could go and then call from a minion. How could Shmuel make such a statement? I would cancel the proof. You couldn't cancel the proof. Even if you wanted to cancel the proof, you couldn't do it. So the Gemara says, Hachigam, this is what he meant to say. Shmuel didn't need to say he's going to actually do it. Shmuel's bemoaning this proof. He says, we're stuck with this proof. I understand why Hillel did it, but at the end of the day, it's a very, very shreya takana. With all the lumpers and everything, the Pasuk says, that's what was doing this. So Shmuel said, if I was as great as Hillel, if I was greater than Hillel, I would be without all this takana. Shmuel, as great as he was, was not as great as Hillel. And therefore, he wasn't without all the takana. And therefore, we stopped with the takana first of all. So Shmuel was just bemoaning.
Is that proof that Hillel established the Dura?
Sure. Well, that was the Gemara was trying to figure out. At the end of the day, you can't really tell from Shmuel's statement. If that's what Shmuel meant, that he would have had to be great b'chachma v'minyan, if that's what his kavanah was in that very, very cryptic statement, and yes, and you're correct, and the takana was for us for eternity. But even though Shmuel was very, 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 sorry, very negative view of this takana principle, he did it anyway, kept it anyway, because Hillel made it, but he didn't think it was necessarily the greatest idea. So the Gemara says that it's Tamid, Rav Nachman, Rav Akamena. Rav Nachman was the Talmud Muvuk and Shmuel, especially in the realm of Dini Mamonis. Rav Nachman said, no, I would keep the Takana. If it was up to me, I would confirm this Takana. Yes, the Gemara, Akamena, Ha-Makai Makoi. What did Rav Nachman mean? Rav Nachman said, if I had a choice, I would vote for the Takana. The Takana is there, and we don't need Rav Nachman to vote. It's there. So what did Rav Nachman mean when he said, if I would vote for it, I would confirm it? Ha-Kigama, Eimer Ben Nilsa, I would add a little bit to the Takana. The Avogav Kosov Dami, that even if the person didn't actually write a Pruz Bol, that would also be acceptable. That would be already one step further. I was going to talk about that a little bit later, that sometimes Pruz Bols can actually be done without literally being written. So here you had within the Amorah, within Rebbe and Talmud, two different, almost like Hashkafadik approaches to Pruz Bols. So it's on the table. We know it was made. We know it's here to stay. So Shmuel is bemoaning this Takana. Halavai, we can get rid of it. We can, but halavai, we can get rid of it because at the end of the day, it's against the Pesukim and Chumash. And Rav Nachman says, no, Hillel's reason was justified. We know why he did it. It's a good, justified takana. We should confirm it. We should get it. We should elaborate upon it. embellish on it if we can. See, by the way, now the Gemara goes back just to a question of the meaning of the phrase Hay Ulbana. What did Shmuel mean when he said that principles are Ulbana the dining? So what does this word Ulbana mean? Does Ulbana mean Lishna the chutzpah? So it's saying that it's like they have nerve, these dayanim, they have a chutzpah to make such a takana. Or Lishna the nichusu, or maybe we mistranslated the word. What it means is a Lishna the nichusa. It's something that the dayanim like. It's a takana that works in favor of the dayanim. Why is that? Rashi explains, because imagine what the world would look like without the Takana principle. Erev Hashanah, everybody would wake up, as most people do the last minute, but by golly, have six guys who owe me $10,000 each, and Shemitah's about to cancel the loans, so the Erev Hashanah, they'd be driving the Yom crazy. The others would be running the Torah right and left, unless the Olch HaShalom, nobody would have any time to be Chesed Mitzvah, they'd be too busy collecting loans. So principle gives the Yom a little bit of a breather, relax. They can say slichas, they can function all, they can spend time getting ready for yonder. So the principle was a list of the nichusim, the dayanim. So we're not quite sure what Shmuel meant. We know that Shmuel was not a big fan of principle. That Shmuel clearly said, if I had the koyach, which he didn't, if I had the koyach to revoke it, I would do so. We're not sure what Shmuel was complaining about, what the lashon was using to complain about principle. Was he accusing it of being almost like a chutzpah dayanim to override what says the Torah? Or was he accusing it almost of being like making life too easy for the Diyam? It doesn't look right. We're almost like taking advantage of this Takana Prozbol because we want it to be so. So Toshma, so we're bringing to proof the Amma Ula, Aluva Kala Shazinza Gyam Kubasa. Ula, the Gemara is right for Ula's using a phrase of Aluva, or the Lashon Uba de Dayore, that Aluva means Chutzpah. So Ula said that the chutzpah of a kala that she's mezana, be careful, she's mezana. What is that referring to? It's referring to Klal Yisrael. It's referring to the Chet Egel. The Klal Yisrael married to Kadosh Baruch Hu Matan Torah, and they made the Egel at the chuppah. The wedding wasn't even over yet. 40 days Moshe hadn't come back yet, and they were already being mezana with the Avodah Zarah. So what a chutzpah that is. So Amar Rav Mari bereid the Bashmuel. So Rav Mari, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel. So it's a big machlokes in Mishnah, why exactly he's known with that phrase, very, very strange way of referring to Rav Mari, that is, he was the son of the daughter of Shmuel. We usually refer to people by their father's names. So there were two different opinions. Some Mishnah would say that the father wasn't Jewish, because the Gemara tells a story about how Shmuel's daughters were taken captive by the Goyim. So some Rishonim claim that this child, Rav Mari, came from that non-Jew. And Tosfos points out that's not true. The Gemara says in the end of the story, Exubis, that the girls were not violated, that they Taka were never misogynistic. They were never really, really totally attacked by the Goyim. They were taken captive. Eventually they were redeemed. So other Rishonim say the reason why he was called the daughter of the son of the daughter of Shmuel, because Shmuel had Yichus, like the Rebbe, it was the Rebbe on the mother's side, so they called on the Rebbe on the mother's side. I know my own family, my grandma, my mother's mother, so her maiden name was Friedman. So my mother told me that she wasn't really Friedman, her father's name was something else, but her mother's name was Friedman, and her mother was from the original Rebbe, from the Rebbe Shmuel Friedman, so she had the Rebbe's blood in her. So the father took the mother's last name because that was a more yuchistic name. So they became the friends. So whatever it was. So to over here, according to many Rishonim, that's what happened. That Shmuel's your grandfather, you want to stick that into yichus, you know, into your shidduch resume somewhere. So that's why he was known as Rav Mari Berei Devashka. So the bottom line is Rav Mari made the following statement. Micro, what's the source for this pasuk that what a bizoyin is, but a chutzpah is that the kal is bizana at the chuppah. Maikwa achi amelach b'msibon udino san richa. Apostle Shirshim says that the king was still there, he was still reclining. Udino san richa, and all of a sudden, my beautiful smell went away. So the Gemara says that Amar Rava dain chavusu gabon. That even though the apostle Shirshim was very, very critical of the Jewish people, the klaisol was bizana while the melach was still there. It doesn't say that they started to smell bad. It says Nichsib Nasar Vlovsiv Isriach. It says the nice fragrance left. The nice fragrance of the kala was no longer there. It doesn't say that smelled horrific. That's what it really should have said, that they were over the Venezara. But the Baruch still likes us, so we toned down the criticism of Klal Yisrael. So Tanur Rabbanan, since the Gemara mentioned the word aluva, as being a question of what that word meant. So the Gemara quotes a very, very famous brisa invoking that word. People who are insulted and they don't insult back in turn. People, they swallow their pride and they get insulted and they don't fight back. The people that they hear their embarrassment, people are vazah them and they don't say anything. They just keep on going. Whatever they do with love. They do the mitzvahs for love. Even when things never they suffer, they somehow are able to smile. So that's the pasuk refers to at the end of Shira's Devorah, that those who love a Kadosh Baruch Hu are like a taste of Shemesh Mevorasa, that they're like the sun, its glory when the sun rises. So those Ove Hashem will give off great glory as well. So one of the character traits of someone who's a real Ove Hashem is someone who gets embarrassed, someone gets people chuck at them, they make fun of them, they bother them, they hack them, and they don't respond. So that's a good Baal. And Nelovin ain't on the Ovin. So that's what Loshin Ovin, Nelovin appears there as well. So now the Gemara goes back to the word prusbel. My prusbel, what is the etymology of the word prusbel? The very, very modern word prusbel. So Amr of Chizda, prus buli obuti. So if Chizda says that the word prusbel is always like a compound word. Prus means like a tekona. It's something that's good for everybody. It's good for the bullies and it's good for the booties. Who are the bullies? Who are the booties? So the Gemara says that top of Zayin and Aleph. So bully elu ashirim. These are the rich people. So prusbel is definitely good for them because they're going to get their loans back. How do you know the word bully in Aramaic means the wealthy? The pasuk says in Parashat Kaysai, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to break the uschem. I'm going to break your strength. The Tanya Rav Yosef Elu below Shem Yehuda. That refers to the wealthy people who are going to be destroyed in Yehuda. So you see that the word bully has the connotation of someone wealthy. Bully Elu Aniyim. That the Takana Puzbol is good for the Aniyim also. It's good for the poor people. Because if not for Puzbol, no one would ever lend the money in the first place. So it's a win-win situation for the Takana Puzbol. So within the word of Puzbol is the compound word of the rich and the poor. How do you know that Buti means Aniyim? The Siva Habe Tavi Tenor, the Puzbol Bashas for A, that says you should give a mashkin, lend money. It's encouraging us to lend money to the poor people. You're allowed to take collateral for the loan, you want to get your money back, but to lend money, Habe Tavi Tenor, something that's used in the context of a poor person. So I'm playing Rabba La Uza, my principal. Rabba asked somebody who spoke a foreign language, spoke a different language. So what does the word prusbel mean? So I'm like Pursa de Milsa, that it's a, Rashi quotes that Haimidav Elosha prusbel, which is a shot of Pursa Takona. That in that the non-Jewish language, so the word prus also means a pursa, is also a takona. His bottom line is it's a good thing. It was an enactment. It was a takona that was made, and that's where the word prusbel actually comes from. Amr Bir Mashmul, Yisayman ain't shichin prusbel. So Bir Mashmul said that Yisayman's property, orphan's property, don't require a prusbel. Chayin Tani Rar Bacham, let's say the Yisayman were lending out money. So their property does not require a prusbel. Chayin Tani Rar Bacham told us a price, and it says the same thing. Yisayman shichin prusbel. Why is that? The Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, I'm being sure Yisayman. Because basically, Yisomim's property is always under the supervision of the Beis Din. The Beis Din appoints a guardian for the property. So Rabbi Gamliel is Beis Din. That generation, that was the Beis Din. Every generation, so the Beis Din is anyway in charge of the Nichsei Yisomim. So the whole idea of a principle is to hand the loans over to the Beis Din. It's ready to hand it over. So sure, so there's no need to write a principle.
If Yisomim were poor, why would they be lending money?
No, the Yisomim has to like, boy, they're very, very wealthy. But they're little.
So if they're wealthy, then why are we worried about them?
No, they're going to lend money. They're kids. They're underage bar mitzvah, so someone's watching over their property.
Someone owes them money.
Someone owes them money. Why are we concerned about it? Normally, we're not concerned.
We don't want to lose the money. It's their money. You know, they're wealthy.
We want
to look out for their best interests. So the Gemara says they should need principles like everybody else. And the answer is no, they don't really. It's a built-in principle. This is the source of the whole discussion about we got post office. We have a shul lend money, and the yeshivas lend money, and all these institutions lend money. So do you really need a principle? So one can argue that These are, there are multiple reasons you could argue maybe you don't need a principal. Maybe you can argue that it's always under the, it's under the definite, the shul is also always controlled by the basin, so to speak, by the leaders of the community. So it's almost like a built-in principal. So a different sheet is about, it's interesting that in the past, I don't remember writing principles for the schools in town or for the shuls in town. I read this past stuff, and so everybody got the, all of a sudden, a lot of the institutions were writing principles. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I wrote the principle for YNJ. If I'm not mistaken, I think the person who was representing YNJ came to talk to me. I should write the principle. I think I wrote for one or two other institutions in the community. So again, where do they really need it now? I'm not sure, but the SSAs were existing and writing principles of these kinds of institutions today as well. So we looked at a mission at the end of Masechta Shmitz. Ein kosum prusbel ela ala karka. That in order to write prusbel, so you have to own karka. The lover, the one who borrowed the money, has to own karka. It can be a very, very small amount of karka.
So basically, they should be prusbel. Like, I'm just, you know, like, I would think.
Yeah, but most probably not. Honestly, I don't remember 7 years ago, writing a principle for our Torah. This year, somehow, we were writing principles for the Shul. Why? So some of the Rabbanim were wanted this to be principles. So we wrote through that. It takes less time. These are one of the shots. Takes less time to write the principle than to discuss whether you need the principle.
That was sort of like a precedent.
You know, we have 3,000 other principles, 3,001 principles. So
they won't be manageable.
Go ahead, man. So the bottom line is the Mishnah says that you have to have the lova has to have karka. So it's not exactly clear why that's true. Some of them say because if you have a loan with a lova, the person who's buying by doesn't own karka, that's what's called the Mishnah Lo Shchicha. It's a bizarre case. Who would, in their right mind, would ever lend money to somebody who doesn't own karka? And this is the old days, but it was fundamentally an agricultural society. You know, most people's source of any income was from the land. So I'm not going to lend you money. Where in the world are you going to pay me back that money from? So clearly, really, a loan to someone who doesn't own karka is a very, very strange thing. And perhaps Chazal didn't make that clear for bizarre situations. Let me show you other reasons why the lovast own karka. But the bottom line, Misha says that the lovast own karka. So this is always a problem because a lot of people are writing principles that don't own karka. Many people own their own houses. Even people are renting houses. So Gemara says renting an apartment is also good enough for this. But there are many people who don't own anything. Teenagers. A 15-year-old lends a 16-year-old money. He doesn't own karka. He doesn't have it. Nobody owns any karka. This becomes a little bit problematic. So we have all kind of kunst, all kind of different ways to try to ensure that the right people own karka for the purposes of principle. This becomes labor. So there are a lot of teenagers walking around who have half inches of land in other people's backyards. So because of this problem. So I remember this was already several weeks ago. Some may remember in the old base medish in Mayo, what used to be the main base medish. So these were the lockers. I remember the lockers against the wall. I remember those days. So it wasn't clear whether those lockers were actually connected to the ground or not. So for years, they were assumed they were mummers built into the ground, so they considered to be like karka. So the yeshiva guy rented locker 302. So he had rented that karka. And then one day they realized they weren't connected to the ground. Harai, they picked them up, they moved them out. So it turns out that all the principles that were written for years on spot, the lockers were what the my friends. I don't know. All the quarters that they belong to each other is a mishka fella. I don't know if that's next time. We'll do this. So tomorrow, I won't be the show. I can't give the show live tomorrow morning. I could theoretically give it on Zoom.
Yeah.
So let me just confirm tonight. I'm just not 100% sure where I'll be when tomorrow, but I should be able to be able to. But it's Rosh Chodesh tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So if it will be, it'll be 6:10, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's move by tonight. We'll have touch base tonight. Okay. Just
Hello.
Yes.
Someone.